So, Sura are the devatas. the Dharmis and the Devatas are the Asuras. The Asuras are the demons that unnegates, right? So here we have, so the Sura, the Ari, and Ari is an enemy. So the enemy of the Suras. So as Swamiji, well, I'm going to read this little paragraph of Swamiji because I really like it. So Sura, Ari, Ha. Ha comes from Hun, and when it's at the end of a compound or a noun, it'll be the one who destroys. Hun means to kill or to destroy. So Ha, like sometimes if we say Sarvaga, the one who goes everywhere, that you can take a verb and turn it into, take a particular form and put it at the end of a compound. And so here, Ha is the form of Hun, to kill or destroy. So the one who destroys the enemies of the Devas, of the Dharmas, right? So Sura, Sura Arinam, that's a compound. So Nihantrit Twat, that Twat, fifth case, with the Twat, so Twat, because of being. That's how you translate that. Because of being the Nihantra, the destroyer, of the enemies, the Aris, the enemies of the Suras, of the Devas. Okay? Surariha. He is called Surariha. Okay? So if this is what Swamiji says. Now in chapter, the end of chapter 16 and 17 and part of 18, where they're really talking about the nature of the Asuras and the Rakshasas, it's so real. I mean, it fits today.
Yeah.
It fits today. But one thing that is even said in that chapter is that they have no value for Dharma at all. So here's Swamiji says, the people who are given to Dharma are Suras. She often used for Devatas, but they're the Suras, the Dharmis. Asuras are the people who are given to a Dharma. Listen to this. They cannot tolerate Dharma. And they do not allow people to follow Dharma. But that's true.
Yes.
We see that. They can't stand Dharma or Dharmas. They want to get rid of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's an amazing thing. Yeah. Today itself, all the way through.
They're destroying the environment. That's got to be a Dharmic.
So he says, these are the enemies of the Suras. At such times, the devotees pray to Bhagawan, and as a result of prayer, there is some kind of respite that is brought about in time, either by destroying the adharma in them, in the adharmis, in the asuras, or by destroying them. Right? He is the one who chastises them by giving them karmapala for their adharma. Hence, Bhagawan is called Surariha. His grace helps, and finally, dharma always gets established. When we talk about an avatar, it's because there's too much of an imbalance between dharma and adharma, and the dharmis cannot manage anymore. And the thing is, it's so shocking. The adharmis have no value for dharma. They want to destroy you. They want to get rid of it. They have no respect for it, nothing. You know? And so you can imagine when, as the balance gets really askew, what can the Dharmis do? Correct. It's like a war against the Dharmis. Yeah, so very interesting. Okay. So I liked it. Let's go to 209, starting another verse. Guruhu.
Guru.
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 Samasta Vidyanam.
Samasta Vidyanam.
Upadeshtritvat.
Upadeshtritvat.
Guruhu.
Guru.
Guru.
Bhagawan, Vishnu, is called Guru. Why? Samasta, you can really get a good vocabulary if you learn these little vrittis. Samasta means all or entire, complete. So, samasta vidyanam, of all knowledges, of all of the knowledges, like of all of the shastras, any shastra is a body of knowledge. So, all the bodies of knowledge, upadeshtritvat, because of being the Upadeshtra, the Upadeshtra is the teacher. Upadeshtra is in the nominative singular. So the Upadeshtra is the teacher of a given body of knowledge. But here, Bhagawan is the one who has that knowledge and the one who initiates the sampradaya of teacher, student, teacher, student, teacher, student. Say in the next, Gurutamaha is the first teacher. You know? But because he has knowledge of all, he is the one who has all knowledge, he is also then the guru, the one who teaches that for any given knowledge. Mm-hmm. So here it says guru. Guru means the one who removes darkness. It also, guru also has another meaning of that which is heavy in terms of weight. And it's opposed to laghu, which is light. Mm-hmm. So guru means heavy with knowledge. Swamiji mentions that in here. One who is guru, heavy with knowledge, that is unshakable and free from doubts, is called a guru. That's one meaning of guru. The most common meaning for guru is the one who removes ignorance. That's so interesting. So, samasta vidyanam upadeshta, the initiator of all the various disciplines of knowledge, is the promulgator of all vidyas, because he's the first teacher. Like, all knowledge is with him. Initially, all knowledge is with him. So, he is the source of all of it. So he's the initiator of any knowledge that takes place in your antakarna. It comes only from Bhagavan. But I like that. So Ishwar, thus as the initiator of all knowledge, Ishwar is the first guru, which takes us to the next one. Guru Tamaha.
Guru Tamaha.
The most exciting.
Virinchadi nam api.
Virinchadi nam api.
Brahmavidya.
Brahmavidya.
Sampradayakatvat.
Sampradayakatvat.
Guru Tamaha.
Guru Tamaha.
This Tama affect, we have two affixes, Tara and Tama. Tara is the comparative, and Tama is the,
superlative.
That Tara and Tama usually go on to an adjective, like good, better, best, for instance. Mm-hmm. Guru is not here an adjective. So when you put Tama onto a noun, it means that which is the most excellent. Like that. Mm-hmm. That's the... Because it's not comparative or superlative. It's that which is the most excellent. So here, Virinchadinamapi. I think that's Brahmaji. I have to look it up. Sorry. Somehow it bypassed that. Yidanchi is, I believe it's a name for you. Your husband to look at Brahmaji. Let me just say.
Whenever somebody's smart, we say they're bright.
Oh, true.
Isn't it funny?
Yeah.
It's so universal, this.
Why am I having a problem in a second, please?
What's happening?
I have to look something up, but I forgot to look it up. Just have to be patient.
I promise.
We all enjoy the light.
Thank you. Avicii. Well, I've got to get another source, but I'm almost positive that Vinci is a name for Ramaji. Ramaji, but it's not in there. Ramaji. Or Brahaspati.
It's a yoga, too.
Yeah, I think it is.
And what? It has to do with
yoga and Jyotish.
It's called Brahma. It's a Brahma yoga.
Oh,
it's called Vrinchi yoga.
Oh, okay.
It has to do with creativity.
I remember it, but I don't have a source to back it up right now.
It's a spiritual yoga.
It does some.
Yeah.
So say we take it to be Brahmaji. We're going to keep Vrinchi. So if we say like this, Vrinchyadi nam api, Brahma vidya. Sampradayakatva Gurutamaha. So because of being the Sampradayaka, Sampradayaka means the one who is initiating the Sampradaya. So Sampradaya is the tradition of teaching from teacher-student. The Aka ending gives the sense of Kartritva, the one who is doing that. So the one who is initiating the Sampradaya means the teaching, the flow of the teaching. Where does it start from? Well, it starts from Brahmaji, for instance, and Brahaspati, Dakshinamurti. These are considered first teachers. So here we see Virenchadi, that would be Virenchi, Adi Nam, Api, Brahma Vidya, Sampradayakatvat Gurutamaha. He is called the Gurutamaha, the most excellent, the most exalted of teachers. Because of initiating the sampradaya, sampradayakatvat, the teacher-student flow, the sampradaya, of Brahma Vidya. Brahmaji is the teacher of Brahma Vidya and Swargaloka, right?
Brahma Vidya.
For even for Brahmaji, etc. So Vishnu, right, is Guru Tamaha, even of Brahmaji. Because the whole creation comes from. Is a manifestation of Vishnu, right? So very beautiful. So Virenchi, Adi Nam, beginning with Virenchi, even for Brahmaji, etc. Okay. Vishnu, because these are all names for Vishnu, is the most exalted teacher, because of being the one who initiates the sampradaya of Brahma Vidya. Very nice. Dhamma.
Dhamma
Jyotihi.
Dhamma Jyotihi.
Sarvakama Nam.
Sarvakama Nam.
Aspadatvat.
Aspadatvat.
Dhamma.
Dhamma.
Okay, here's giving two meanings of Dhamma. The most common meaning for Dhamma is just an abode, a place. It's the first thing, it's Dhamma. But in the Bhagavad Gita, the Dhamma is the place whose nature is light. So in terms of Vishnu, when you're talking about the Dhamma for Vishnu, it's the Satchitananda Atma, which is self-evident, self-existent, luminous being, right? So when we say Dhamma in reference to Vishnu, where is Vishnu's place? What is his abode? The abode of Vishnu, which is Mithya, the truth of Vishnu, is the Satchitananda Atma. So there, Dhamma means Jyotihi. So you say, Dhamma, comes from Dhamma, and Dhamma is Jyotihi, is light itself. Light means consciousness, just that chip. Now, another meaning for Dhamma is just simply abode, but how he says this, why is Vishnu like the Dhamma, like for the all beings? He says, Sarvakamanam, for all desires, Sarvakamanam, aspadatvat va, or Dhamma. So he says, because of being the aspada, the abode, for all kamas, in other words, all of your kamas, all of your desires, fulfill themselves only in the Satchitananda Atma. Because that's the truth. Whenever you're experiencing the fulfillment of a desire, that experience is one of ananda. Right? Otherwise, you haven't fulfilled the desire. If there's no ananda for the fulfillment of the desire, something's very wrong. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, but that the source of that ananda is only Vishnu. So any desire that you fulfill has its aspada, its refuge, its place of being, its home, in Brahman alone, in Vishnu alone. Oh, that's so beautiful. Everybody understand that?
Yep. Mm.
Yeah.
In the self alone.
And then Swamiji takes that further. He says, Dhamma also means an abode, a resting place, which we know. That's the general meaning of it. Lord is Dhamma. Dhamma. Dhamma should be, that should have a long on. Lord is Dhamma. The abode gaining which sattva karmas, all desires are as if fulfilled, and gaining which there is no more desire and no more return. So that's looking at, for the one who has actually gained Vishnu, that you are gaining the actual source of ananda, which is in fact the ananda which is experienced every time you fulfill a desire, because the fulfillment of the desire gives a momentary resolution of the psyche, of the mind. The mind becomes like a, you know, the clear water bucket which reflects the sun. Whenever you fulfill a desire, for that moment you are desireless. Like the jnani, like the mahatma. Because the Mahatma is desireless in really, because the Mahatma, the Jnani, has discovered the real source of ananda. And so having that ananda, you know, the fulfillment of a desire is not really very important, because I'm already abiding in the fullness of the very source of the ananda, that I get a glimpse of. They call it just alesha. Alesha just means a slight glimpse of the ananda given to me through an antakarna vritti, thought modification, which is has some shanti. So you have to think, sometimes Swamiji will say the shanti that comes from the fulfillment of the desire through a walk in nature, through the smile of a child. Mm-hmm. There's so many experiences, moment. Eating food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A good meal.
So many experiences that bring that resolution. Yeah. Sleep, actually, the beautiful thing about sleep is your mind, even though it's in pure ajnana, because it just goes into its causal condition, it's not causing any disruption at all or any competition with your own being.
Yay!
Yeah. So I really love sleep. It's like the lazy, so I'm just called it the lazy man's samadhi.
Yeah. Loka samasta sukhino bhavantu, kale varshati parjanyaha, prithivi sasya shalini, desho yam cho varahitaha, brahmana santu nirbhayaha, om sarve bhavantu sukhinaha, sarve santu niramayaha, sarve badrani pashyantu, ma kaschit dukkha bhag bhavet, asato ma sadgamaya, tamaso ma jyotir gamaya, mrityorma amritam gamaya, om purnamadav purnamidam purnat purnamudakshate, Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurupyo Namaha. Hari Om.